In your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5. We'll be reading the entirety of this chapter, verses 1 through 32. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, which is the translation in your pew Bibles. Genesis 5, verses 1 through verse 32. Let us hear these words as they are. By God's grace, by the Spirit's power, the infallible, the inspired, perfect Word of the living God, the living Word of the living God. Genesis 5, beginning in verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them. And he blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived after he fathered Enosh 807 years, and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan. Enos lived after he fathered Kenan 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enos were 905 years and he died. When Kenan had lived 70 years, he fathered Mahalalel. And Kenan lived after he fathered Mahalalel 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Kenan were 910 years and he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. Mahalalel lived after he fathered Jared 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years and he died. And when Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he fathered Lamech. Methuselah lived after he fathered Lamech 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. Lamech lived after he fathered Noah 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. After Noah was 500 years old, Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth, inspired word of our God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for your faithfulness to the church in all generations, generation after generation, even if in these days so long ago. Father, we thank you indeed that you cut indeed the stream of saving faith alive one generation to the next, indeed until the fullness of time when Christ had come. We thank you that that time has come. And Father, thank you for the joy of seeing your faithfulness to the church today, even it is as evident in this text from days so long ago. Father, may we be deepened in our thanksgiving for Christ at this time and at this place. Thank you that it is your Holy Spirit that illumines us all, that we are here for the purpose of giving glory to you in Jesus' name. In his name above all others, we pray. Amen. Well, in a violent world and a violent time, the Magi from the East, from the kingdom pagans of what is almost certainly now today, modern day Iraq, they found peace, as you know, as they worship Jesus as he is, the Prince of Peace, and as the King of the Jews. They became part of the church that included the Jewish shepherds who came to worship Jesus on the night of his birth. When an angel from the heavenly host gave them the good news of great joy, that will be for all the people. You know the words well, unto you is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And they too remember that the angel that spoke to them, as they were called to come and worship Jesus, the angel also, and the heavenly host with them, also worshipped Jesus, declaring, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And the heavenly peace, now come to earth, is yours in the midst of the changes and of the manifestations of the spiritual battle that rages around you, and in some cases within you, as you face the coming year, the changes therein. It is a sober reminder that the spiritual battle is no different today from these days in Genesis 5, these days of violence. We'll get to Genesis 6 in Lord's days to come. But we read this past Christmas Day that, quote, two bombs in Christian areas of the Iraqi capital of Baghdad have killed at least 35 people, officials have said, the BBC reported. 24 were killed when a Christmas Day worship service ended, and another 11 were killed when a bomb went off in a market in the Christian neighborhood of Al-Thorian. The ancient Christian population of Iraq numbered 900,000 just one decade ago, and today it numbers less than 500,000. It is important to remember that this testimony is not new. When John Calvin left his native France in the 1530s, it was as a refugee. The government was then, no less than terrorists now, cracking down on those like Calvin who believed that God's people needed to have the relief of knowing that God pardoned their sins by his grace alone through the gift of faith in Christ's work alone. Christ's perfect obedience of God's law, the Ten Commandments, and of his offering himself on the cross for lawbreakers, saved to the instrument of faith who acknowledged their need for Jesus' death, righteousness, and resurrection to be saved from the guilt of all their sins. The crime for believing that in Calvin's day, and indeed in the world's and the enemy's eyes throughout time, was death. In fact, Calvin, who was so closely associated with the church in Geneva, he ended up in Geneva because French armies prevented him and other believers from being able to safely make it to the Reformed haven of Strasbourg. And for Calvin and those in his generation in the midst of violence against their families, against their faith, against the proclamation of their Lord, they took great comfort in this passage, in these verses in Genesis 5. This is what Calvin writes concerning the hope of God's faithfulness to his church, evident in verse 1 of our text. Quote, "This book of the generations of Adam was made to inform us that in the great multitude of men, there was always a number, though small, who worshipped God, and that this number was wonderfully preserved by celestial guardianship, lest the name of God should be entirely obliterated, and the seed of the church should fail." Important words. Hope in the midst of overwhelming sadness. That's the theme of Genesis chapter 5. It's the theme of all the scriptures, but it's very vivid here. It provided hope, these verses, this chapter, to the church in Calvin's day, and it provides hope to you on this Lord's day, as 2014 is about to begin. You might find yourself burdened this Lord's day morning with sadness for several reasons. You might very well be grieving the death of loved ones, or at least missing loved ones who have died before you on your pilgrimage. You miss them. You may have a heart that is in the midst of being broken in a relationship or in relationships within your family. As the manifestations of the fall, the fear of man is all too evident within the temptations that swirl around us. And within us, as again the war between the flesh and the spirit continues. You may have physical trials on this Lord's Day, pain, suffering. Either you are suffering or loved ones are suffering. And of course, as we have read about already, there is the warring, both physical, as in the bombs that went off in Baghdad this past week to kill Christians, but spiritual as well, against our Lord and against his gospel. Indeed, it is with great sadness that we acknowledge that our culture seems to be running away from biblical truth as fast as people can run. Those of you who are grandparents, you can remember when no one considered that it would be an affront or offensive to have the Bible read in the public square within our land. Indeed, we are facing changes as this new year is about to begin, but through all the changes, the changeless faithfulness of the Lord to you, to his church, continues. And that is great comfort on this particular Lord's Day, the last. of 2013. We all are facing changes this year in our church family. And indeed, that is profound. And it is important for each of us to be praying for God's continued faithfulness to us, as again, the church is His and His alone. But as we think of the changes that await us in the coming year, think of the changes that Adam and Eve faced, their pain. Indeed, on this Lord's Day morning, consider the changes that they experienced within their days. Verses 1 and 2, that important language. When God created man, He made him in the likeness of God. Adam and Eve faced something heartbreaking that you don't have to face. They remember what the Garden of Eden was like. They lived with the pain of sin and death, with the memory of the Garden of Eden when there was no sin. There were no thorns. There was nothing but the glory of God manifest as they had the special presence of God with them. They knew what it was like to be made in the likeness of God without any sin. They knew the blessing of God upon them, made in His image before the fall, when they were in the state of innocence. Now, we're not totally unable to relate to something along the lines of Adam and Eve and their heartbreak. Do any of you in your wallets on this Lord's Day morning or in your homes, do you have baby pictures? Do you have pictures of the first smile of babies, either your own or those that you know in your church family, your covenant family, your kids, your grandchildren, yourself? You remember what it was like. It's a real point in time that you remember the first time that a baby smiles. And there's something, isn't there, that is bittersweet within that. There is somewhat of the innocence, the joy of youth. Now again, our infants today, like Seth, they're born in sin. Every baby that smiles has cried first. After the fall, that's certainly true. But there is still that knowledge that the joy that the baby has, looking into mom's and dad's eyes, indeed, that heart that with such joy, such innocence in a sense, will be broken. They will feel the pain of loss, of grief, of suffering. That day comes, and that brings us to verses 3 through 5. True for Adam and Eve, and in a shadowing sense, true for us as well. Man's memory of the fall. Look at the contrast between verses 1 and 2 and verse 3. It is profound. Verse 3, when Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. Again, the contrast could not be more stark. Seth, like you, has never lived in a world without sadness, in a world without sin. Again, as we have said, and you know, Seth cried as a baby, just like you have. And when young Seth had his heart broken, can you imagine the pain of Adam and Eve? They knew how different things were after they ate of the one tree that God forbid them to eat from. And to remember, to ponder, that Adam had over 800 years to wait before his days of trial, of experiencing the curse of the fall, were over. As Calvin writes, if Adam had remained upright, he would have transmitted to all his children what he had received. But now we read that Seth, as well as the rest, was defiled, because Adam, who had fallen from his original state, could beget none but such as were like himself. This sad instance of the Holy Patriarch furnishes us with ample occasion to deplore our own wretchedness. Very true, isn't it? Have you ever experienced this? You think of one particular foible of mom or dad, and as a child, you make that promise, that covenant with yourself, I will never do that to my children. Then your two children do something that's very much like what you did. Born in sin. And how do you respond? You do exactly what mom and dad did, or something along those lines. Again, we feel the weight. We know indeed what it is to need salvation from ourselves, not just for ourselves, but for our children. Indeed, change and the fear that change brings. Again, it's a constant. But again, the faithfulness of the Lord through it all, at the heart of this passage, how sorely we need it. In the sadness of the fall, again, the hope of redemption is very vivid for us here. Calvin also reminds us in Adam's trials, all those years after he ate of that fruit, and Eve as well, he reminds us of Cain's line. Think of this. Cain and his descendants had centuries to learn from Adam and Eve, to learn from their covenant parents, to hear the promise that God gave to them that one day the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. And all the rest of Adam and Eve's children outside of the line of Seth, except for Abel, who was killed by his brother, all the rest of mankind, except for this one line of Seth, they failed to live in the hope of the gospel that Adam and Eve had received and believed in and shared with their covenant children, including Seth and the others, after their fall, after their eating of the forbidden fruit. Application for us, what we read here in chapter 5 is that the history of the church becomes the story of the grace of God, the promise that one day Jesus would come. Again, in the recognition, the sadness we have, again, to see our own frailties passed on, the sins of the parents passed on to the third and fourth generations. Again, to see the greater hope of the redemption of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit to change His covenant children, and indeed to conform this to the holy image of the Lord who has saved us and saved them. It is no less in the text than to say and to believe that sadness in this life, for Adam and Eve, for ourselves, it reorients us to the eternal life that waits us in glory that will never change. In the words of the New Testament, in the fullness of time, our grieving is not without hope. How important that is. Adam did live a long time. But again, as his time ends with the hope of the gospel, with the words, "And he died." Again, God kept his word in terms of the curse of the fall. Calvin writes this clause, "and he died, and he died, and he died." We read it again and again in these verses, which records the death of each patriarch, warns us that death was not in vain denounced against men, and that we are now exposed to the curse to which man was doomed, unless we obtain deliverance elsewhere. Now, it is tiring to live in the fallen world. Covenant children, have you seen how the year 2013 is being portrayed in our culture in this week? It's an old man with a white beard. And on New Year's Day, this coming week in 2014, what will the new year be pictured like? It'll be a baby, right? It'll be young, new, full of energy, full of joy. Remember at this point in our text what the angel told the shepherds on the night that Jesus was born. So true for us that the coming and promised salvation accomplished by him is indeed good news of great joy. That's true no matter how tired we feel in these weak vessels, in these tents. We aren't sad when our babies smile for the first time. We truly do rejoice at the end of the day because we know the blessings of the covenant that are theirs and ours forever. God has blessed us, Christ has blessed us, with a physical, a tangible sign and seal of the covenant to remind us, indeed, where our hope lies. And when you realize that God saves you out of this world, you can face the wages of sin, even death itself, with a hope and a peace that no one, not even Satan himself, can ever take away from you. God gives you a taste of heaven throughout your life here on earth. It's not all just waiting for peace and happiness and joy in the life to come. God gives you that here. And that brings us to Enoch in verses 21 through 24. God's reminder of eternal redemption. After Adam, again, we read that Seth lived 912 years and then he died. Enosh lived so long and then he died. Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, of course, they all died. But then we come to Enoch. And we read these words, in the midst of all that pain, all that death, indeed, the memory fading of life in the Garden of Eden, he walked with God. Now, Enoch is the seventh in the line of Seth, and Lamech in the line of Cain is the seventh in that line. You don't even have to turn the page. Look at verses 23 through 24. Hear the testimony, the humanism, the faith in man and not God, expressed by the seventh in Cain's line of unbelief. Lamech said to his wives, Genesis 4:23, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. You wives of Lamech, listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, And Lamech's is 77 hold. The whole world then, no less than now, outside of the line of Seth, outside of the church, was living in selfishness and in idolatry, eager for the glory of man and not the glory of God. That's why Christians are killed, right? To silence, indeed, the proclamation of a gospel in which hope, joy is found, glory is to be given, not to man, but to God himself who has become man, to Jesus Christ alone. But in the midst of all that violence, in the midst of all that unbelief, that selfishness and that idolatry, again, Enoch was not identified by any of it. With the guardian hand of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, upon him, in contrast to Lamech in Cain's line of unbelief, Enoch and you walks with God. As Calvin has written, the Spirit of God has established a rule of living well and rightly by which we depart from the examples of men who do not form their life and manners according to the law of God. That is good news. You are lawbreakers, but in the hope of the gospel, that doesn't turn you away from the law of God. It turns you towards it. You give glory that Christ has kept that law. And you look with hope to use the law as you express your gratitude for God saving you from your law breaking. Enoch clings to the promise of God in a violent and evil world. He lives in faith, by faith, in contrast to all of the evil that he sees around him. Great hope for him and for his family line, the line of the church that is heading towards Noah. Application for us on this Lord's Day. How good it is to worship together as a part of several, many households of God in the one worldwide household of God this Lord's Day morning. The Lord's blessing upon men and women with Enoch's faith is an encouragement to others. This was true for Calvin, and that, of course, is true for you. You worship in a church that is full of Enochs all around you every Lord's Day. Now, they, like Enoch, they don't get transferred into glory, again, without experiencing death. They will die like you do unless Christ comes again in his perfect timing and perfect plan. But the point is, they share Enoch's faith. And indeed, they know full well, indeed, where their trajectory lies. How you get to glory might be different, again, but for all within the church, and again, the fruits of saving faith around you, the joy, the peace of looking forward to when your days on this earth are done, not in hopelessness, but in reveling in the joy of being sanctified, being conformed to the image of the Son that you will be with, face to face for all eternity. That is true joy indeed. Enoch's testimony has always been a blessing to the church as we are called to praise the Lord for the saving faith that we see in our brothers and sisters in Christ around us. This is why the author of Hebrews writes this regarding Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Now, Enoch had many reasons to give up hope in his days, to stop resisting temptation in a fallen and evil world. But he continued to be a man of faith. And those that followed Enoch, as we read about the length of Enoch's days, it's fractions of what the others within this chapter are. Enoch's family, no less than you, as loved ones go before you into glory, they missed Enoch, just as you missed your loved ones that have gone away from the body to be home with the Lord. But again, along with all of the Old Testament saints, again, who did taste death, you have the testimony of Enoch to remind you of the precious gift of faith, again, that puts you on the road into where Enoch is. Indeed, the inspired author of Hebrews goes on to reflect of the testimony of Enoch and all the Old Testament saints. If you have your Bibles open, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 1. We'll read through verse 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. That brings us to the close of our text. Again, the closing verses of 25 through 32 of our text in Genesis chapter 5. Lamech's testimony, different Lamech, the father of Noah, as he expresses the hope, indeed, and the gospel of Noah, and names his son accordingly. Enoch's faith, of course, was not in himself. Enoch was not a savior. His faith was in the seed of the woman, the seed of Eve, who through Seth's and his and your covenant line, the king of the Jews, the son of Adam, the son of Abraham, the son of David would come. And of course, Jesus has. And your faith is in him. You see more clearly what Enoch looked forward to seeing, Christ coming. This is what Lamech is talking about as he talks about that words related to Noah. Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. As Calvin writes, since the wickedness of man was daily increasing, no mitigation of the penalty could be hoped for unless the Lord should bring unexpected succor. Now, Noah's name means rest. It's also closely associated with the Hebrew word for comfort. And notice Lamech's words and how they point us to Christ. That the Lord has cursed this, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil from our hands. And remember the words of the inspired author of Hebrews. Again, our toil is painful. We experience pain in our hands because we're sinful. We deserve all the pain that we endure. But again, Christ with sinless hands indeed bore the nails in his hands, in his arms, so that again, Lamech's naming of Noah, again, his expression of faith in the seed of the woman to come would be fulfilled. Because Jesus took the guilt of our sins in his very hands, in his side, in his feet, and in his legs. Indeed, we truly are indeed relieved from the painful toil of our hands. And the important close of our text, the application for us is this. Notice that Lamech did not look backward towards Enoch. He did not wax nostalgic. He did not wish for the days of old when one like Enoch would go into glory without tasting death. He looked forward to Noah. And through Noah to Christ. Again, Noah's name means rest. And again, the rest that you experience this day, not only when your days and trials on this side of glory, are over. Again, the shepherds, too, they were weary and heavy laden, but they left, having been face to face with Jesus. They left the stable to share the good news with others, and so do you from this place. Let's look at one last text when Jesus brings this text home to bear in himself, in his comfort and peace to you. Much more vivid than it was to Lamech when he named Noah after a word for rest. Turn to Matthew 11 and hear Jesus' words in verses 28 through 30. The words of our Lord, indeed, who brings us. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He brings us rest forevermore. Come to me, verse 28 of Matthew 11, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, in a profound sense, Calvin's, Luther's, the first generation of reformers, again, their lives were full of change, full of heartbreak, full of violence and death as their brothers and sisters in Christ were martyred year after year. But if you read their writings, they are not people of gloom and doom. They are people of profound joy. And as you face changes, you don't know what the new year will hold, nor do I, nor do any of God's people in terms of the manifestations of the fall around us. But we do know exactly what it looks like to have the comfort and the rest of Jesus Christ that is greater than whatever we face in the coming year. Again, your life will be one of profound change in this year. This chapter 5 of Genesis is a profound change. It brings with the heartbreak of the fall, the change from the Garden of Eden to the fall, image bearers being made in the image of God, to bearing children who will go old and weary and who will die, and the wages of sin being death. But it ends with the birth of Noah and his sons as the Lord is bringing about great change in terms of redemption, salvation out of this world forevermore. So as you face the changes that are awaiting you within this year, remember how God will use them. Whatever changes in the midst of you, your loved ones around you, within your church in the coming year, the Lord uses that to remind you that He never changes in His faithfulness to you. And whatever changes you face, you are heading to a destiny in which there will never be change. You will be face to face with the Lord Jesus forever. We'll close with this. Jim Heemstra, again, as he loved to see churches full with people that rested in the fear of the Lord and the love of the Lord on the Lord's Day. As some of you know, he's written many songs. Again, that was a change in 2013. The Lord sent him from here up to his hometown of Ada, Michigan. But he wrote that wonderful song, "Christians Never Say Goodbye." And that's true in all the changes, indeed in glory. Whoever you say goodbye to in this coming year, you'll be with them forever and have literally all the time of the ages to share in fellowship and rejoicing as you continue to be in the presence of the Almighty Lord and Savior Jesus Christ forever. So whatever change you face here, it is but for a little while, as you will be in the changeless glory there forevermore. Praise the Lord that He gives you a taste of eternity on this and every Lord's Day. Indeed, your trials are not insufferable. Jesus has done far more than you will ever need to, indeed, to be restored and reconciled to the God who loved you enough to send Jesus to die for you and to save you and to take your weak vessels and to glorify them so that they will never change. They will be free from sin and temptation forever as you worship the Lord in all eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for Christ. And how thankful we are for Noah, who was born and raised in the blessings of the covenant with faith in the promises of Messiah to come. We thank you indeed that Noah's name, referring to the rest and the comfort that only you can give as the Almighty God, indeed has been fulfilled in Christ, who is the Comforter, who is the Almighty Prince of Peace. We thank you that the Holy Spirit indeed is our Comforter, our Counselor as well, as He brings to our minds and hearts all the glory of Jesus who has saved us. And thank you that whatever changes, whatever goodbyes we have in the coming year, they are overwhelmed by the changeless faithfulness of Christ and His nearness to us all our days. Thank you that we look forward through all the changes to being with Christ face to face forever with all those who have gone before us into glory. Thank you indeed for the perseverance of the saints as we await the glorious return of our Lord. In His name we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please rise.